Well, as we said, the president is at the Asia-Pacific summit, and he began today by putting a bright face on U.S.-China relations in Beijing. The president said the two countries would start granting visas to each other's citizens, visas that would be valid for up to a decade.
Under the new arrangement, student and exchange visas will be extended to 5 years. Business and tourist visas will be extended to 10 years.
But despite that good sign, thorny issues like human rights and trade are just below the surface. NPR's Anthony Kuhn is covering the president's trip. He joins us from Beijing. Hi, Anthony.
Hey, Robin.
And another thing that would seem to be, well, somewhere on the surface is a conflicting message we seem to be getting. We keep hearing that the U.S. suspects that China is behind not just major cyber attacks, but theft of innovation. So is China friend or foe?
There's two levels to this. One is that in Asia, there is this increasingly intense strategic competition between the U.S. and China. And President Obama's message here in his speech to business leaders here for the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation Summit is that they want the cooperation between China and the U.S., the economic cooperation, cooperation on climate change and things like that, to outweigh the areas where they have strategic mistrust. In terms of business, the president spoke frankly. He called for a level playing field for U.S. and other foreign businesses doing business in China. There have been a series of crackdowns on major U.S. and foreign corporations in which China has forced these companies to lower their prices. The president said he wanted to see a China that innovates, creates new products through innovation, and respects intellectual property rather than pirating goods or resorting to cyber theft for commercial gain. Now, China would say, well, look at what Edward Snowden revealed. You guys hacked into our networks. You have a bigger surveillance operation than anyone. And China and the U.S.'s response to that is, what we do for national security purposes is not about commercial gain. To China, that's really sort of a moot point. It's all about national gain to them.
Tell us more about the president's announcement about visas and what the U.S. hopes these visas produce.
The president has said that the two sides have agreed that student visas that are good for up to 5 years and tourists and business travelers will get them for up to 10 years. Now, everybody knows that there's this wave of outbound Chinese investment that's going to come. China has made that very clear. It's already happening, and the U.S. just wants to position itself to catch that wave. The government has released statistics that show that the U.S. is the most desired destination of Chinese travelers. It's where they want to go most, but actually 2% of them actually make it. The U.S. wants Chinese tourist spending in the U.S. to go from $21 billion in 2013 to $85 billion a year by 2021. And in 2013, Chinese travelers spending supported 109,000 American jobs. They want that to increase to 440,000 jobs by 2021. So we're looking at a major wave of investment that's a little bit like what Japan did in the U.S. In the 1980s, buying up real estate and investing in factories and spending on tourism.
Well, and talk about possible trade deals. The White House feeling more optimistic about getting a trade deal in Asia because Republicans now have control of both the House and Senate here in the U.S., and Republicans are also in favor of that, more so than some of the members of the president's own party, the Democrats, who are union-backed. So maybe a clearer path in the U.S., what might the obstacles in Asia be?
Well, you know, Robin, the president is working hard on the Trans-Pacific Trade Partnership over here. That deal includes 11 member nations on the Pacific Rim that together account for 40% of global trade. One of the major sticking points has been Japan's highly protected agriculture sector. At the same time, Japan is accusing the U.S. of protecting its automotive sector from Japanese exports. It doesn't look like they're going to see any breakthrough during this APEC summit in Beijing or even maybe this year. It could take quite a while.
Well, and Anthony, while we have you, the president is starting this trip after North Korea this weekend released those two Americans that have been detaining, Matthew Miller of Bakersfield, California, Kenneth Bay of Linwood, Washington. Is there a connection between that release and this Asian trip?
Well, according to the administration, the U.S. did not plan it this way. The North Koreans contacted the U.S. and floated the idea of releasing the two Americans it held captive. Now, whether North Korea was interested in timing it this way, to time it to the APEC summit and the president's attendance there, we don't know. What the president says is it doesn't matter. If North Korea decides it will go back to the negotiating table and discuss disarming, getting rid of its nuclear weapons, then the U.S. is open to engaging with it. But otherwise, the U.S. is just not interested.
Well, and how are people in Asia feeling about the president? We just came off this election, Republicans winning big. The president had said that he wanted to make the so-called pivot to Asia. But how is Asia viewing him with just 2 years left in a term?
I think in general, countries here are a little bit ambivalent about this so-called rebalancing. They don't want to be stuck in the middle between the U.S. and China. You know, they're smaller countries, and they don't want to have to choose who they're going to be friends with. And at the same time, you know, they want to trade with China. They want the U.S. to continue to provide security in the region, but they want that to minimize risk. They don't want the U.S. to, you know, as they say, poke China in the eye, antagonize China so that it increases the risk.
NPR's Anthony Kuhn speaking to us from Beijing in China. Anthony, thank you.
You're welcome, Robin.